Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you could like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, Game Source, the Lakers Fast Break, like I said, Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends of pop culture. Of course, the great folks at Lakerholics.com, the great folks also as well for the Game Time Chat at LakersBall.com, plus our friends at Hoopheads Podcast Network. And if you can support all that, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, the Lakers and Thunder in a battle of the G League teams, as both teams decide to go ahead and do what they can to try and deplete the rosters as far as having people play, so to speak, because no LeBron, no AD, no Carmelo, no Russell, none of the big players they wanted to go ahead and bring in. In fact, LeBron is done for the season. He decided not to go after the scoring title. I think that was probably a publicity move as far as not trying to get any heat on him, or maybe just trying to save the ankle, whatever it may be. He's not going to go after the scoring title, as it were. But I will say that right now that the Lakers, again, in a battle of the G League teams against a team that is trying very hard to tank in the Oklahoma City Thunder, it turned out well for the Lakers. And finally, they get one in the win column after a very torrid second half. Close game at the half, Lakers up by 4, I think, at the half. Then they went ahead and they pulled away in the second half and did okay, not too bad, for a 120-101 victory. Want to go ahead and give a shout-out to Stanley Johnson with 21. Malik Monk only had 12. Trying to see if he can close out his career possibly with the Lakers. We'll see if he actually stays on as a free agent, but trying to make a good impression out there. He had 12, but a plus 12 and plus minus. THT only had 15, 4 of 16 shooting, but was a plus 21. Austin Reeves with 11. Dwight Howard, unfortunately, the three-point magic was not there today, but he did get 15 and 8. Wenyen Gabriel, who signed an interesting two-year contract, with one of the years being this year, so it's evidently a two-game contract with a deciding for the team as far as a team option on the second year. So we'll see if he actually does pan out as far as with the Lakers. He chipped in with 16 points, 7 rebounds, and a plus 24. Wayne Ellington had 10. And also Mason Jones moved up from the G League team, the South Bay Lakers. He had 13. Again, a lot of these players will probably not stick in the league from what we're seeing. The Oklahoma City Thunder really only had two players that played well, actually three if you include a Melvin Frazier Jr., but they had Georgios Kalatsakis with 25, and also as well Jalen Horde with 27, and also Isaiah Roby with 14 if you want to. He's chipped in with 14 as well. But again, this is a battle of the G League teams, and with none of the Lakers that we all know and appreciate out there, it was really hard to go ahead and get into it. But the Lakers still did win 120 to 101. So we'll count it as a W in the win column. The Lakers are right now 32-49. They're out. They're done. They're already planning their vacation plans with one more game left at Denver. But here today to talk about the game, first man up, good man indeed. He is the mastermind behind Lakerholics.com. Please check out his latest article today at Lakerholics.com. It is Laker Tom, and Laker Tom, who is going to be right back, I'm assuming, right on cue. He leaves. Yeah, timing is everything. I set you up, and you walk right out the door. Was the game that unwatchable to see? I will say that, again, it was a battle of teams that decided not to put out their best rosters. Obviously, SGA not in the lineup. Josh Giddey not in the lineup. Yeah, again, Oklahoma City is trying to tank. The Lakers are just trying to get through the end of the season. And they're just
it's a real dicey thing trying to buy tickets at the end of the year, you know, and because you never know what you're going to get. Game could turn out to be an important game, or it could be turn out to be a nothing game like tonight's game. You know, considering all of the stuff that's been leaked out to the press about Russell Westbrook and the whole attitude of the team and comments from Vogel and comments from Magic and everybody throwing everybody under the bus. I don't know. It looked like
pardon the pun there.
It looked like everybody was in pretty good mood tonight, you know. Everybody on the bench seemed to be happy. The superstars seemed to be happy with the play of the various guys. And so, you know, I don't know, you know, everybody's sort of the expectation, I guess, is that we're going to have a real bloody mess this summer. That's going going to rival what it was when Magic resigned, you know.
And I don't want to stress that the reason why they waived yesterday Trevor Ariza is so that they could go ahead and finalize a 2-year contract with Wenyen Gabriel. But the second year, which would be this coming season, would be a team option. So they're
Is it just a 2-day contract?
It's
then?
Just essentially a 2-day contract. Mm-hmm. And then they brought up Mason Jones from the G League South Bay Lakers, yes, who did actually pretty good today. So yeah.
Well, at least they took an option on him. You know, I mean,
I'm still not convinced on the kid. Again, he's been through six NBA teams now. I mean, you got to go ahead and change the way you play once you've been through six NBA teams. But you know, right now it's only a 2-day contract for right now. So what are you going to do? What do you got to lose?
Well, he also sort of fills in as a salary filler, because I know in constructing a lot of the trades that I've been looking at for the offseason that when you hit a certain point, you really need to include Stanley Johnson and the team option that he's got. And so here's another player with the team option that would knock you up so that you can get, you know, if you want to get a $20 million a year guy,
you need that $1 million to cover it.
Yeah, you need a couple of $1 million more, and Stanley Johnson falls in that range. And if you want to get up to $23-24 million, it's nice to have another guy to trade. And that was one of the problems that the Lakers didn't have. They didn't have any of those guys for 5, 10, 15, you know, those middle, not superstar salaries, you know, just the salaries. Like, they didn't even have those contracts of the average NBA salary of $10 million.
Yeah,
and that limits a lot what you can do, you know. So, it was good to see a win. It was good to see a win. I don't have any angry grudges against any of the players on the team, you know. It'll be interesting to see all of the news that comes out and what the final thing is. I still think that it's kind of interesting because it's almost like Magic is going after Rob Pelinka
again,
yeah. And it was interesting that he was with Jeannie and Linda and the rest of the gang at Kareem's 75th birthday celebration.
And happy birthday to Kareem on that.
Yes, definitely happy birthday to 33. Cap looks like he's 75, though, man. He was walking pretty gingerly there, going off of the edge.
Well, can you blame him?
No, I'm a couple of years older than that, so I can definitely. Well,
but he's 7'2", my friend. He's 7'2".
Yeah, I know. It's just that I see so many people my age and younger that they can't walk except gingerly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So stay in shape and keep working out, guys. Otherwise, it's coming for you.
Absolutely, indeed. But also here today to talk about today's game and also as well his thoughts on Coach of the Year, which we should have done last night. I had it on the schedule, but we'll do it tonight. Plus our All-NBA teams. Good man, indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out on the Game Time chat where there's only one left at Denver. That's at LakersBall.com. It is Ox1947, Joe Soro. Joe, great to have you here on a Friday night. Thank you so much. Appreciate it as always. Your thoughts on today's game? I mean, you can't take a whole lot from today's game, win or lose, because the fact is you don't have your team there as far as the way it was constructed originally. And I'm sure that when the roster was constructed several months ago, this was not how the team wanted it to go.
We saw tonight what the Lakers were. The Lakers did what they were eating for 3 months. It was interesting. I was looking at the score. For a second, I put my head down, and all of a sudden we went from 6 to 8 to 10 to all of a sudden we're up 17, right?
Yeah.
And it felt like, wait a minute, isn't this supposed to be the other way around? But it's not. It was the first time I remembered them playing four quarters.
It's like they lifted the curse on us, wasn't it?
Well, it's also because Oklahoma City started taking out the players that were actually.
Well, they only played, what, seven guys?
They played six. They couldn't take out anybody.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's a.
And Melvin Frazier was the sixth guy.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad product again. And THT still missing free layups. So
He was gapped.
I watched the game.
Which is terrible for a 21-year-old.
It is, but he's 21. I mean, imagine 4 years from now, if he continues to work, maybe he can be something. I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever know. I don't know if we'll have him long enough.
Yeah, he did great last night.
But I mean, let's be real about that. You know, we're talking about age. I mean, 21. I know he's been in the league for 3 years, but geez, he's still 21. I'm indifferent with Talen Horton Tucker. I don't really have any feelings with that one. I don't really care if any of them come back, to be honest with you. I really don't. If we can't sign Monk, we can't sign Reeves, maybe a little bit for Reeves, but I have absolutely
option for him.
I have no feeling for anyone to come back if they don't come back. Absolutely not. I don't remember the last time I went into an offseason thinking that. So I enjoyed that we won. Winning is always good. It's been a good winning day. I saw the Dodgers play earlier, and they played well.
Saw the Yankees win.
What?
Saw the Yankees win today.
Yeah, and they also lost a little bit when Judge turned down their extension, but we'll talk about that later.
That's only temporary.
I don't know about that. No, he'll sign. George's boy doesn't operate like his pops, but again, we'll get to that in a minute.
And that sound you heard was the Angels bullpen lighting up, that one that Jamie was talking about that was going to be so much more improved.
The Angels stink, and they will always stink until
maybe 1-1.
Until they figure out when they can actually bring in pitching.
You got it. I agree. Wholeheartedly. I'm not going to disagree.
It's fitting that we beat an Oklahoma City team that essentially started the descension as early as it was, losing a 26-point lead against them, and then I believe a 22-point lead also. Yeah.
The OKC curse.
The OC. And you know, this
I think it was a 26 and a 19. If I
this is right. this is Russell Westbrook's flagship team, right?
Yeah.
Right. So I find that interesting how that worked out.
Because he wasn't drafted as a member of the Seattle, or was he drafted?
No, he was drafted as a Sonic.
Him and Kevin Durant.
But they turned into Oklahoma City.
Right. Yes.
And they're the same franchise. There is no distinction, so it's the same franchise.
Yeah, to end his career there as a
Durant played 1 year in Seattle.
He did.
Yeah.
He actually had a really cool commercial where he was taking jerseys off, and then the last one was a
Westbrook
Sonic jersey.
Didn't play as a Sonic. Westbrook was drafted as a Sonic.
He was drafted as a Sonic.
Yeah.
Okay. Correct. What might happen there is if they when they bring back Seattle, the Seattle Supersonics, I think they're going to take, they're going to shift that onto.
They got to bring in two teams. Seattle obviously is number one.
And
I
Vegas
think
bring
in Vegas.
Yeah.
Right. I think Vegas is ready.
I think it will happen within the next 5 to 6 years.
You know, they need the money because, you know, the fee to pay it, I think, is what, $500 million to actually become an expansion franchise?
$500 yeah. million, really?
Yeah, it is. It's a hefty price. Why do you think
they're doing it for money, obviously.
Yeah, that's why.
Although it does give a nice balance to finally have 16 teams in each division, you know?
Yeah. And then you could move a New Orleans that is actually on the East Coast into the East Coast, you know?
Right.
And also Memphis, you can move them over to the East
Coast. Who wants New Orleans in the East?
Well, again, but you would make it more geographically.
Oh, are you talking about?
You have to, because you're adding current, two people to the West, two teams. Yeah. To the
I've
West.
Done that map 100 times too. By the way, Vegas and Seattle works, yeah. And the whole north. You know, yeah, it definitely would work.
It's called money.
Yeah.
Well, it was one of the first up, so they made responses money. To COVID. You know, when
they
COVID
made they hit. Made they made more they made money this year. They the salary cap's going to be going up, but tonight's game was usually the January type game where. You're on your computer kind of browsing the internet and watching, you know, watching the team kind of do their thing. And that's
well,
what
we're talking
like.
About expansion at 15 minutes in. So, of course, that yeah. shows you just how interesting the game actually was.
It was extremely uninteresting, but we still got to act like we know what we're talking about.
But you can't take a really, you know, can you really take away anything from a game like this? I mean, with the skill level that's out there. A lot of these individuals on if both teams were healthy, if Oklahoma City was healthy and the Lakers were actually playing all their key players and were all healthy and all that, a lot of these players wouldn't see the floor. Let's be realistic on that. A lot of these players would not see the floor. Can you really take something out of the game like this?
No. Most of the games this year, you couldn't take anything out of it. even with AD and LeBron playing, and definitely,
I think it was the end of the OKC curse. Seriously, I mean, first off, we didn't have some other player that we'd never heard of before set a new record for his career for scoring.
We got
the ref calls all game long.
I'm gonna
aggressor. We went to the free throw line. We made our free throws.
It's easy to play like that when you don't have any pressure. This team, yeah.
For whatever reason, it was a different feel game because, like you said, Joe, we got up 2, we got up 4, we got up 6, then we pushed it to 10, then we were in 15, suddenly we were at 15, and suddenly the
third
game
quarter,
was over.
We fell behind just a little bit for the third quarter, and
yeah,
then we
but
had
it
that
was,
charge.
Man, when the other team's playing 6 guys, 3 of which I've never heard of before, you know, what do you expect?
What happened tonight
was what we didn't see all year long, because all year long we saw a Laker team underachieve, play less, play below what their talent level was.
I think it's worse. I think that's putting it mildly.
Well, there's a litany of list of
you can only take
things that went wrong.
I'm still trying to figure out
yeah.
if we're ever going to find out what really happened. This doesn't make any sense. There's no way.
Well, it just could be an outlier, you know, just one of those.
I've seen.
It doesn't make sense because we shouldn't have been as bad as we were.
I've seen super teams not make it all the way, but I've never seen them turn into a what would have been a
team
top
that couldn't win
team.
With LeBron and AD.
With LeBron having one of his career years, especially yeah. scoring. That's the part that that's why I keep using that analogy of the Titanic, because this is a team full of people who would have snuck onto the boats before the women and children went on. That's the kind of individuality that came out of this.
Ramona was coming out with in the Lakers and talking about it. But you know, you brought up an interesting thing about the. It being almost like a shipwreck in a sense, because it seemed to me that this team was so much worse. Russell Westbrook was so much more damaging than anybody expected. And I still don't understand. I understand what you're saying, Joe. It's like 1 + 1 = 4.
I don't think you could have
seen. There's a missing.
There's no
a missing
way.
Part of the formula that we don't know. How could this team with the talent that they had on it play so poorly?
There's no way even you, G, that would have expected this.
You didn't hear my thoughts in the preseason.
And if we had gone into the first round and lost, I would have said you pinned it right on the dot. You didn't do anything, right? This was the worst. You had LeBron. No,
I didn't expect the whole team to do this bad. I expected the Russell Westbrook thing to be a bad fit. I'm going to clarify that.
Yeah, it was a bad fit, but not 32 wins.
I expected that the team would overcome his bad play in order to go ahead and still make a run in the playoffs. I did not expect this. I just expected the bad fit part of it as far as Russell Westbrook is concerned, not the record. Obviously, no one that was predicting the Lakers with the team that they had set up even could come close to predicting what had happened for the Lakers. So, yeah,
I'm getting to the point here too, because I'm going to mention something to Tom here. I know Tom was talking. I know we had a butting of heads in the last show about AD and whether we should listen to the offers. He was just quoted, and I'm paraphrasing, that he's not going to change his off-season program. He blamed it on stepping on someone and someone running into his knee. And to me, even if that's true, okay, which it is to a degree, even though when he turned his ankle, he didn't step on anybody. His ankle just turned, which already is a lie. To me, this team has no accountability. It reminds me of most of the people that you know in real life. They're not accountable for what they've done. And a true leader will take blame even if it's not his fault or her fault. And none of them have taken any blame on anything. And even if, let's say, Frank Vogel
all said is that they'd like to run it back.
Okay, running it back, when AD said running it back last year, it made more sense because when he got injured, they were up 2-1. It made sense. And in the end, he was right. His first instinct was right.
They would have won if it hadn't been for the injuries.
But see, there's a difference. There's a difference between that and what happened this year, right?
Yeah, they're not the same thing, but...
They're
equating into the same thing that we would have won. We would have beat the Suns had AD not gone down.
But we could talk about that how many times.
Been injured this year.
How many, with Russ? How many series can we say that the Lakers lost in the finals because of something like that? You know,
you're preaching to the choir, Joe, because I agree with almost everything you say. But the whole point is that there's this strange, ludicrous little thing that's percolating here, which is that, you know, Russ comes out because he's got to say this since he's going to accept his, you know, he's going to use the option of taking his player option and getting paid $47 million. So he's got to say, you know, yeah, listen, we could run it back. You know, we could do this. That's the only reason we didn't. We just never played games. We could figure this out. And then you hear AD saying, well, we could have beat the Suns last year, and then this year the only reason the only reason is the injuries. So you can see him coming out and paralleling, and then LeBron even sitting there saying that it was the injuries. We never had a chance. So I hope Blake is not really listening to this stuff and buying it. I mean, that is really scary because. Now there's also a logical financial reason for running it back, which is that assuming that you got LeBron to do an extension, if you kept Russ for that year, you would come out with around $35 million in open cap space to sign a third star. And that's why Russell's expiring contract has value. So the Lakers could go in, we would gamble everything next year on running it back, which I hate, and then bank it on the next year after that of being able to come in on LeBron and AD's last year and bring in a third star who would maybe be the heir apparent to LeBron. So there is this whole percolating story under the ground there that we could run it back, and there are some financial reasons for saying that. Same reason you think that their teams would be willing to go out there and trade for Russell Westbrook $47 million for 1 year.
They're going to be more apt to do it in February than they are during the summer.
Well, they'll really be hungry for it in February.
That's what I'm saying. Because then, you're going to weed out who are the losers and who are the winners.
Yeah, but then we want the teams that still think that they can get something out of Russ.
I understand. I'm just letting you know that if Westbrook is going to be a harder person to trade in the summer, not impossible.
No, you watch and see. He'll turn out to be pretty easy to trade. I mean, we just saw the whole Gordon Hayward thing being added as a possible ability. And the whole situation is that we can probably trade him for three contracts of let's say rotation players. Players who belong in a competing teams, top eight players. I think we can get three guys like that. And it's because our draft picks have value, and it's because Russ has value, especially for a team that wants to clear cap space to be able to sign somebody. And there is a point in time when the Lakers are going to have to sign somebody or trade for him. And it's hard to think of what we got now to trade other than Russ is the only one, you know, trying to find somebody who needs to get rid of contracts so badly that they'll take Russ. But he's not really the kind of asset that's going to get us somebody like AD, somebody to replace LeBron. We're not going to get a superstar to replace LeBron with that. But we might get him if we had $35 million in cap space. And so the Lakers have got a plan ahead, and that's why this extension with LeBron is going to be so critical, because if he just says, I'm going to sign the extension and everything's honky-dory and Clutch is on board and we're going for the next 2 years of LeBron and we're not going to do anything dumb so that it'll kill us afterwards because AD still is a clutch client. But if LeBron says, I'd like to see what's going to happen by the end of the year. So I'm not going to sign an extension. This will be, you know, we'll talk about it again at the end of the year. The Lakers may at that point in time decide that maybe it's time to trade LeBron and AD because both of them would have real value on the market right now. It'd be an impossible thing to do. It's crazy for them to do it. But if they ask themselves the question of whether they thought they could win a championship with LeBron and AD in the next 2 years, and they could not answer yes to that question because they weren't willing to take back the contracts or weren't willing to pay the luxury taxes or whatever reason it is, if they can't answer that question positively, then they would be fools not to make the trades right now, because both of those players would yield some real young, good young players, star players.
Joe, want to return on that? And then we'll go ahead with our coaching picks.
Too many people are forgetting what's at stake next year. That LeBron's going to be breaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's scoring record. There's no way the Lakers are not going to wait to see him break that in a Laker uniform. It's not going to happen. And AD,
and he doesn't sign an extension, no?
If he doesn't sign an extension, you let him play the year out, he breaks the record, and then let him, if he wants to leave, he can leave. There's some serious decision-making that needs to get done. That's an understatement of the year. And I think other than LeBron at this point, everything needs to be considered. And I'm trying to figure out, is the league going to conspire, not, you know, officially, but behind the scenes, I mean, you know, figuratively, are they going to conspire in making sure the Lakers eat it this summer and not do anything for them?
No, because each team is still out for itself.
Good. So if that's the case, the reality of what will likely happen is, especially if the Lakers stand their ground, the trade that's going to have to happen is, if you don't risk your future, it's going to have to be something where the Lakers have to take on multiple years, meaning like three at the very least.
$100 million for Russ's $47 million.
And then now the Lakers need to figure out if that player fits with this team. If he doesn't, that's going to be a problem. If he's injury prone, that's going to be a problem. It's a crapshoot. This is going to be a summer of either they made the they made the right call or the wrong call, and the wrong call is going to be what happened this year. It's going to be the right call if everybody plays and everybody gets along. It's a 50-50 thing. There's no other way to put it. I know it's kind of plain. Yeah,
it's got two chances to fail. First, you might make the wrong deal. But even if you make the right deal, the players may not come out and play the way you
expect. I don't think there's anything that's going to be worse than what we just experienced.
No.
So I don't think they'll ever make another deal the way that they did.
Unless some idiot talks them into running it back in order to get the cap space.
If they run it back,
replace LeBron,
they will quickly, within the first month, realize how bad of an idea that was. Yeah. We got a little bit of the taste. Remember we went – winless in preseason. Do you remember what happened the last time we were winless in the preseason?
Wait, that was this year.
Yeah, this year.
We were 0-6 this year.
Yeah, and then we were 0-8 the year Mike Brown got fired.
Right, right.
Yeah, so.
Give me Mike Brown right now. I'd probably take him.
I wouldn't take anyone anywhere, any rehab at this point. I'm just over all the rehash and the BS and no one listening to the coach and, you know, I'm tired of it. I want a leader on this team, and Lakers really need to focus on that. I mean, I think that's a very important part of this as well. Just as important as getting rid of Westbrook is finding a legitimate coach who will demand respect and actually have a plan. If you don't do that, if you find another puppet, then you're done. You're not going to win out anyways. And LeBron needs to make a decision on if he really wants to win at least one more title. I don't think he's going to get two. I think he might have a shot at doing one if things work out perfectly. But you got to freaking – but how's he going to do it? In 19 years, he hasn't really given two craps about who the coach is. Does he? Has he ever – I mean, I think he loved Pop. That's about it. Who else? Who else does he like? Lou? Does he really like Lou? Did he really care?
I think he could have forced the Lou situation. He could have forced Lou onto the team.
Lou, everybody, he's the flavor of the month.
He doesn't want to do that. He may want to have control of what a team does to the extent that every star player knows that his career is going to be dependent upon, you know, who this team gets to play with him.
Remember, he got a coach fired, and they were leading the Eastern Conference.
He tends to be more of a behind-the-scenes type of manipulating type of guy rather than –
yeah, he's a passive-aggressive guy. He's a classical millennial.
Yeah, and I think that's fine. That makes sense. But, you know, listen, hey, we traded the 15th best man in the NBA, players that LeBron didn't want to have traded. We traded two guys to get two clutch clients to get Russ. You know, so it's not like, I mean, people are overstating this whole thing about how clutch has and LeBron have control of that he's the GM and so forth. It's all BS. He has influence.
I don't think it's BS.
Probably influence in proportion to the kind of superstar he is, like the greatest player who ever played.
Right now, it's all about speculation. It's all about everything.
It's not speculation.
It's all about what you think. Lakers may do. It's wild right now.
This is a 19-year
wild.
I'll give LeBron his first couple of years, but after a couple of years, LeBron, this is status quo for LeBron. This is what
and
happens.
Magic's out there.
Either explodes or he everything's good. It either explodes or it's good. Magic is the Magic is I don't know what's going on with him.
He's mad at the Lakers. He's mad at Rob.
He's mad at winning time. He's mad at everybody.
Yeah. He told Variety that you can't do a Lakers story without the Lakers. Well, it just got approved for season two, so it shows you that you can't do a Lakers story without the Lakers. But there's going to be a lot more speculation and talk about this in upcoming shows.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
The better that these Marvel films do, the higher the standards are going to be for not just other films in general, but other Marvel films also.
I think it's really hard to end a show with this many fans in a satisfying way.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Playing worldwide on radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. I want to go ahead and mention again that the Lakers did win 120-101 against the Oklahoma City Thunder. They have one more game left, and we'll go ahead and cover that as far as what we're going to do on the back end of the show before we head on out. But before we head on out, we wanted to go ahead and talk about our all NBA picks and our coaching picks. First up is Coach of the Year. And for me, it's very simple. Monty Williams.
Yeah.
End of story. Monty Williams, end of story. Tom, your thoughts on Coach of the Year? I think
he walks away with everything on it. You know, the job that he's done with the Suns has been incredibly impressive.
Absolutely.
Because they are a juggernaut team that's put together. James Jones has put together.
About the person himself, Tom. I mean, after the tragedy he went through on a personal level, it just
burns me that he was actually a candidate to coach the Lakers.
Of course.
He's the one that I really wanted to have the job. I'm not a Tyronn Lue fan, but I was a Monty Williams fan. So congratulations, Monty.
Monty's
been able to do a better job.
He said he didn't want to go.
Well, Joe, what are your thoughts on Coach of the Year? I mean, Monty Williams.
Monty Williams is if he wins, for sure, it's warranted. But I would vote for Taylor Jenkins. I think what he's done in Memphis.
Great point.
What he's done in Memphis with Ja out and them still winning and them being young and him being unknown and being in Memphis and being in the Western Conference, it's like one after another. I'd say the most enjoyable games this year were actually the Memphis games. I remember they played Memphis, all four times in like a four-week period, wasn't it? And it was – I remember we won the first one, and then after that it was kind of nail-biters until the end with those games. And I just – I usually get – irritated when they always give it to Taylor Jenkins, like this up and coming guy, because I'm like, look, there are great coaches who coach better too some years. So that's where the Monty Williams things does come in and into my philosophy. But looking at the situation with Memphis, I just think that's a crazy. Crazy, interesting situation.
They might be the better team.
They play better defense.
They might be the better team than Phoenix.
They could. But I think they're probably a year away from really being a threat.
Yeah. Phoenix has to win. Usually how it works, that they have to have that stepping stone year where you really show up in the playoffs.
At this point, you have to – Phoenix has to win it all. This is – I believe – Chris Paul's last shot.
Well, it's also the fact that DeAndre Ayton, you know, his contract situation, a couple of the other guys are due for contract extensions as well. And we all know the owner is not the most spendful of owners out there. And plus, he's going through his own stuff as far as all the allegations, which are very much substantiated in a lot of cases. So he might not be long for owning that team. So we'll see what happens there. So you got your thoughts, excellent thoughts out there. And if you guys out there and gals out there have thoughts on Coach of the Year, please let us know in the comments on YouTube, Facebook, or on Twitter. Before we head on out, though, Joe and Laker Tom, get your pencils ready, get your keyboards ready to type in exactly who you think is going to be on the NBA's first team, second team, and third team. Oh, he's got it in his brain. Okay.
About the first team. I don't care about
the second. No, you got to do all three teams. I ask for all three teams. Because, you know, the debate over LeBron.
You're lucky I prep for each show.
Okay. Yes. Well, there you go. I'm going to start off.
You don't believe me, do you?
No. I'm going to start off with
mine. That's what I did when I did my show before. Of course I prep. That's how I was trained.
But I know you're a busy man as well. First team, though, for me, NBA all-team first team, is Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm going to put the last second I made a switch because John Morant's been out too many games in my book for first team. So I'm going to put Devin Booker with Luka Doncic. That's my all-NBA first team. My second team is Stephen Curry. Then John Morant, simply because, again, I think he was out too many games. Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum's been on fire. He's been playing really well. He was a close guy as well as far as being in that first team. DeMar DeRozan. And he's been a godsend for Chicago. Just imagine if the things would have come true and he would have been on the Lakers, like Magic said. Sorry, Joe. That's what he said. And Karl Anthony Towns. I think I'm putting Karl Anthony Towns above Rudy Gobert because Rudy Gobert, again, very limited in what he can and can't do as far as how he impacts the team, but he does impact on the defensive end. But Karl Anthony Towns, Stephen Curry, Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, and DeMar DeRozan on my second team. And then my third team is Trae Young, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Chris Paul, and Rudy Gobert. Laker Tom, you've had some time to think about it. Hopefully you got your lists ready, but please let me know your thoughts on NBA all first, second, and third team.
My first team has got Luka, Booker, Durant, Giannis, and Jokic.
There you go. I was worried you might put LeBron there, and I'm like, uh-oh, controversy, no. Controversy.
My second team has got Trae Young, Steph, Embiid, DeRozan, and LeBron.
Why put Embiid on the second team, if I may ask?
Well, I got a center that's better than him on the first team.
You can play both of them.
Well,
on
you
the first team.
Do it your way you would do it. I'd do it the way I would do
okay,
it.
Okay, fair enough. And third team.
Third team is Tatum, Ja, Harden, Siakam, and Cat.
Siakam, surprising in there, but he has played extremely well the back
his
half of the season.
He's won games.
Yeah, he's played very well on the back half of the season for Toronto. So big shout out to Sean Grice in Toronto area because he's told me constantly about the progress of Pascal Siakam. Last but certainly not least is the man right here who's got it all in his head. It is Joe Soro. Joe,
first, for sure. I got to think about second and third because I know apparently that matters.
To me, and it does to
Jokic,
them as far as contract
Embiid,
wise.
Embiid, Luka, DeRozan, and Giannis.
Say it again. I talked to
Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, Luka, DeRozan. First team.
DeRozan on the first team?
Yes. He's played all year.
Well, look at where the Bulls are.
They kind of faded after they were leading the Eastern Conference.
You got to give some weight to games win. They win.
But he's had some 50-point games, so I can agree with you.
It would have been different had Ja played more and if Steph had played more, obviously. Yeah. Steph, it wasn't easy. Actually, Steph really wasn't. This is one of his worst shooting seasons in his career.
Steph struggled after the right before the first of the year.
But they really struggled when he was out.
Steph struggled.
Steph, I guess, might have snuck in at three if he was playing.
Why not put someone in like Devin Booker, though?
Devin Booker would make sense. Yeah.
Team has the best record in the league.
Yeah. I would say I could switch Booker into DeRozan, but I don't know. I think DeRozan's had a career year.
Still a second team highest level.
Yeah, you could say second. So let's say Booker at two there, and then you drop DeRozan at
second team
and put Ja on the second team. God, half the damn teams have had injuries everywhere. I don't even know where to go at that point.
Well, that's why I put a lot of them on the third team as far as the ones who really miss time, like LeBron.
So
Grant.
Third team would be Ja. DeRozan. You'd go with, I think Karl Anthony Towns had a phenomenal year.
Yes.
I think you could definitely feel pretty content.
I would put him above Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, I'd have Gobert off.
I don't think I'm using Gobert on anything, at least not this year.
Right.
Who would finish off the second?
It's not just him. It's how his team plays.
Jason Tatum.
Oh, yes. Jason Tatum. And then, what was the second one?
Trae Young has had a great season, even though Atlanta's been sort of right around 500.
I wanted to put Marcus Smart on. I really was working hard to try to find
I'm putting him at third, Marcus Smart. I think that could be like the defensive
team. Such a big impact
on
the Celtics this year.
Boy, this is a tough one.
But I put Durant and LeBron in my third team. I think that you know.
Yeah, Durant. I was going to put LeBron third. So Durant, LeBron.
Yeah, but Durant's the way he's been playing, man. I mean, it's like he never got.
I can even put Chris Paul ahead of Stephen Curry for me on from third to second team and switch those two out. Stephen Curry has been struggling so hard.
This is the hardest season to do this because there just hasn't been. Now the question now is what Adam Silver has pointed this out. He pointed it out, I believe, yesterday, where the star's not playing in these games. What do you think he's going to do?
Well, I think it has to come down to, you know, some type of monetary compensation as far as fines, things of that nature.
But that's going to be a CBA thing. Are they going to play ball?
It has to be. You can't do anything like this. You can't make adjustments until you do a CBA, until a new CBA.
Whole load management thing. They have to come to some sort of agreement. That's going to be a very controversial thing to agree upon.
Exactly.
Does it change the image of the NBA if that happens?
Well, I think that's the argument that the teams are going to be using to the players, that in all of the history of the negotiation of the CBA, things that have been done in the past to raise the character and standing of the players, the honesty and integrity of the game are always things that rate real high. So they'll have to reach some sort of agreement, and I think the agreement is going to be that you have to have a real serious injury, that it can't just be load management.
Well, it's also the fact that you're going to start getting a fan backlash because of the fact that prices are becoming more expensive. And
you got to beat that before it happens. You have to be proactive against something like that, because it goes to the image of the game, goes to the image of the league.
Fans are just going to stop coming if they're going to spend all this
They're not stopping,
Well, they will. It's to some degree. At least there'll be a fan backlash.
You know, there was a point in the league before winning time happened, before LeBron, before Magic and Bird came on the scene. The league was really in a lot of trouble, and a lot of it was sort of.
Yeah, but we're in a different time, Tom. Back then, owners thought. Think about this for a second. Jack Kent Cooke sold the Lakers because of a divorce.
Yeah.
Okay. The way they marketed, I remember Art Modell, the owner of the Cleveland Browns and then later the Baltimore Ravens. He moved to Baltimore because he never got into the new wave of how the world worked in terms of money and marketing and all those things. Nowadays, everything's fixed. It's fixed. And I think we got a taste of how insignificant people in the stands are during COVID, especially in the NFL, and then a little bit in the NBA. They've already gotten their sponsors. They've already got their TV money. The fans and the concessions is just extra money. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care about the fans. The players don't care about the fans. The coaches don't play these guys to cater to the fans. They don't care.
Yeah, but when the owner's representative, which is what the commissioner is, when the owner's representative brings up that subject and makes a point about it, he's really aligning himself with the fans and empowering, and he's basically using the fans as a pressure lever on the players to make sure that
fans don't care.
The superstars got to play.
They say they care online, and they'll tweet and they'll Facebook and they'll Instagram, but then they go back to their old ways when they're off the computer. I don't believe anything anyone says. There's one thing that I remember Colin Cowherd says, and I'm kind of 50-50 on Colin Cowherd.
I wouldn't believe anything Colin Cowherd says.
Well, again, sometimes he's the guy's in love with himself. There's no doubt about it.
No comment on him. He
did say something that has always resonated with me. He said, don't watch what people say. Don't listen to what people say. Watch what they do. And that goes for anything in life. I keep hearing, oh, we're done with the NFL because of their social whatever, or the NBA's whatever, and all this. And then all of a sudden, they're breaking records, rating records, and big TV contracts and all this stuff. I'm like, well, where is this coming from? Aren't the TV contracts based off of viewership? Isn't that how they all do all those analytics? So
based upon bidding against different competitors to get the contract.
But that's based off of people paying to watch, whether they're at the game or in the house.
The integrity of the game when it comes down to the stars playing Who wants to go to a game with the Lakers and not see LeBron James?
That's the problem. See, Tom, like the last two games, especially tonight, okay? What if that one person, and you know it's every game, there's someone out there during any game, any sporting event, that might be their only time at a game like that in their life. And I'll imagine, why did Michael become captivating? Why did Kobe become captivating? Why did we love Derek Fisher, even though he was terrible on one side of the court for almost half of his whole career after his ankle injury? The reason why is because why did we admire Kurt Rambis? Because we fall in love with those guys who give it their all. And when you don't do that,
still give us his all. That's the problem.
Who?
Kurt Rambis. He's still giving us his all.
I'm talking about when he was playing. I don't know what the hell he's doing now. Again, going back to the whole Magic thing, you know, there's things that Magic's good at and there's things that he's terrible at. And it's like that in life, guys. That's why I told you this before. I go, I have family and friends that I've loved and known for 20, 30, my whole life. But I wouldn't put them in charge of this. You know, it's you got to know where everyone fits. And that's what a good leader does. And that's what a good manager does. When you don't do that, you fail like you did this year as a Laker. You didn't recognize certain things. You went this way and it was not the right moves. Now, the beautiful thing about sports is you always got next year. So let's pull our pants up. Let's put our shirts back on. And let's focus on what's important. What's important now is we need to get leadership on this team, if anything. Okay? Because right now we have zero leadership from top to bottom. Top to bottom. Where this goes from here, we're going to find out in about 3 or 4 months, at least at the beginning.
That we will indeed. But once again, the Lakers, 120 to 101. They close out their home schedule at the Crypto.com Arena with a win. Their season is all but over, but their last game is going to be on the road at Denver. 6:30 p.m. is the start time, and we'll be on after the game. Just wanted to mention that, again, we will be talking to you after that game, talking about all the great things that are going on to close out the season. I'm sure we'll have our opinions on the Lakers season right there for you. We'll start with a play-in preview maybe and go from there. We'll talk about all the great things that are going on in the NBA as well over the coming days, and also talk a lot about the changes that will hopefully be made over the course of the summer, starting with coaching, because we all assume that Frank Vogel's not very long for the job. We all assume that there's going to be changes made. So we'll definitely be here on a weekly basis, just like normal, talking to you about what's going on with the Lakers and the NBA right here at the Lakers Fast Break. But before heading out, I want to go ahead again, give a shout out to the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Thank you so much for all your supporting and also sharing all the stuff that we do on social media. LakersBall.com, that great conversation that they have, those great guys there. Want to give them a big shout out. Thank you so much for allowing me into your forum there, guys, and appreciate it so much. Want to thank so much as well to Laker Tom, Jamie Sweet, and all that they've done over the course of this season with Lakerholics.com. Please, the great articles are going to continue to be there at Lakerholics.com. And the biggest shout out is for you, the folks out there who watch us on Facebook, also listen to us on the podcast networks, wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, the YouTube followers, The YouTube followers out there, you guys have been tremendous out there over the past month. You've increased our audience by tenfold. It's just been great to see. So please go ahead and continue all summer long with us right here at the Lakers Fast Break. But again, for Joe Soro, Laker Tom, and Cheryl Glassford, we'll see you Sunday. We'll have much more conversation because the season will officially end. You can finally kick some dirt on the Lakers coffin for the 2021-22 season as the Lakers will finish out their season against Denver Sunday night at 6:30. And we'll be on after the game right around 9 p.m. right after the game. So check us out then on Sunday night right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.